Good day, friends and family in the Four Corners region. I'm Michael McAllister, aka DJ Mike on the airwaves, and I've got a real treat for you today. I've had the honor of being able to interview and have a conversation with none other than singer, songwriter, and activist Ray Zaragoza. Welcome to the show today, Ray.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure, Ray. I gotta say, you have been on our playlists now for months, ever since Fight Like a Girl came out and
awesome.
Subsequent singles. And just every week, you're there. Every single week, you're there. You're there. And as soon as you released The It Girl, you were on there again. And then now They Say has come out, and here you are all over our charts. And DJs here love you. They love not only your songs, but of course the message and the activism and everything that you do. Folks, if you don't know of Ray at this time, Ray Zaragoza, she speaks truth to power. One of the quotes that I came across was, "You're one of the most politically relevant artists in your genre." And I think that is absolutely true. So anyway, I wanted to get on with the questions because I've got questions for you.
Sure.
First off, you are releasing an album on October 23rd. The album is called Woman in Color. This is your second full album release. And I just was wondering, besides, you know, it being produced by Tucker Martin, who, by the way, folks, he has produced such artists as Nico Case, First Aid Kit, The Decemberists, Sufjan Stevens, Modest Mouse, among others. What else is different in this new album that's releasing October 23rd from your first album, Fight For You, in 2017?
Yeah, you know, it definitely feels like kind of like a sonic growth. Like, it feels like I've just dug deeper into who I am as an artist, and that the album reflects that, which is really exciting. And, you know, I was working with a lot less time and resources on the first record, and I feel like this record is kind of my wildest dreams of what the first record could have been. I always had dreamt of working with Tucker Martin. He's produced so many of my favorite records, and so it really was just all of these amazing things coming into alignment between the producer and the stories I wanted to tell, kind of digging deeper into like myself as a artist and as a person, and just having the songs reflect that. So it definitely feels like, in some ways, a continuation of the last record, but also of just like I feel like the first one, we were just scratching the surface, and then now I get to really tell the story.
Yeah, absolutely. And I got to say, you know, since 2017's release of Fight For You, you were a little bit catapulted into the limelight when your video for In the River, which had to do with the Standing Rock protests, mm-hmm. suddenly went viral, and everybody knew who Ray Zaragoza was all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. And what was that like for you?
Wow. Thanks for that question. I guess I haven't answered that question in a long time, and it was both exciting and terrifying at the same time. And also, outside of myself, for me, it was very, enlightening experience to see how much a video and a song could open minds and inform people. On that level, I was just very, like, it was very, it was amazing to watch, you know, to see like, okay, just me and my brother, like, to cost us nothing to like make this song and to upload a video. And because of it, so many people reached out to me from all over the world telling me that they had no idea about Standing Rock or even that Indigenous people still existed in the United States. And it was wild, the messages I got. And so it showed me the power of music and the power of social media, honestly. But it was also incredibly terrifying because I was so young, as I'm still very young. I was younger then, and I didn't really know what to do with this new platform that I had. And people were looking to me to keep speaking up and to keep sharing my stories and keep sharing my songs and to have a message and to be this voice as a woman of color, as an activist, as an Indigenous person, as an artist. And I felt so challenged by that, but I feel proud of my 22-year-old self for being able to rise to that occasion and really understand that, wow, I have a platform because of this song, and I want to do as much good with it as I possibly can. And that's pretty much been what I've been doing, or trying to do, continually learning how to do for the past 5 years.
Yeah.
And, four or five years. Yeah.
And just to say, you know, one of the reasons I raised that question is because Standing Rock was really a big deal here in the Four Corners. Yeah. We're right in between the Navajo Nation, the Ute Mountain Utes, and the Southern Ute tribe right here. So it was a real big deal in this area. And a lot of people journeyed up there to support that protest at that time. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it was, oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say that I really also, why I treasure that song is I wanted to give a musical gift to so many of these water protectors and folks and everyone listening in your area who traveled up to Standing Rock as some kind of little musical token to take with them from that time and of that bravery that everyone showed and all that resilience of the spirit and the soul and people just putting everything down and going up to Standing Rock. And so I wanted to almost document that through song and make sure that everyone had a song they could listen to and then always remember that spark in their hearts that brought them to Standing Rock.
Well, it certainly did, Ray. Kudos on that.
Thank you.
And getting back to the album, when I heard the song They Say a little while ago as it was released, I got to say, it struck a chord in me because I live in an area where we have a lot of folk festivals and folk music is very popular on our radio station.
Yeah.
And They Say is a powerful examination of folk music and white privilege, if you ask me. That's what it sounded
like.
And so I have to ask, and folks, if you don't know, let me just quote you the first line of They Say. It says, "They say the folk music for the elite, the wise and the old with a college degree, a $40 ticket and a $15 drink." And those words just resonated with me because that is so true in this area. So what inspired you to come up with those words?
Yeah, you know, I think I got into music because I've always felt that music is this great equalizer and music is a great unifier and that everyone has access to music. And even when I travel to different countries, you know, I'm still using the same kind of cables to play music. And it just felt like there's this thing, that's the reason I got into it, is that it's something that all people can enjoy. And as I've gained more success and have opened for bigger bands, I'm realizing that, oh, this is not something that everyone can enjoy. I've played concerts that cost so much money, where there's drink minimums, and all of the venues are in big cities, and we hardly play concerts in rural areas, and especially, you know, for some reservations or for it would take 3 to 4 hours to drive to a concert that we're routing on this folk tour. And so I remember just sitting backstage at a show and just thinking folk music or really music in general, and it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there at music. It with so many things, entertainment, so many things that we think are givens, healthcare, being healthy, anything, services in general, we say that they are a given for all people, and yet they truly are mostly accessible to people who don't even need them as much. And that is something that has been very apparent during a pandemic. And so I kind of all of that frustration kind of fell on me that night backstage, and I just had that thought. I was like, yeah, they say that folk music is for the elite, and also with white privilege, and I'm oftentimes the only person of color in folk music spaces that I've been in. Not always, like, grateful there's so many women of color, people of color in folk music that I love so much and that I look to all the time, but we are absolutely the minority in every music, folk music space, and that can feel very isolating, and it can feel that a lot of times it's like we are some kind of novelty in the folk music space, and that's both I understand why, but also it can be a little bit isolating and a feeling of that we're not the normal, like we're not normal. And so that's kind of where the song came from. And it started as this idea about folk music, but I realized that it really is this metaphor and parallel for so many different things in American society.
Yeah, absolutely. And the It Girl, your other single, kind of exemplifies that as well. You know, that you're a part of it, but not in a weird, in a strange way. So, and by the way, folks, I am on the phone today with Ray Zaragoza, a singer, songwriter, and activist who is set to release her next album, her sophomore album, October the 23rd. You definitely want to check it out. It's called Woman in Color. So I wanted to ask you, Ray, next about the sort of to relate the title of this album, Woman in Color, which says a lot about who you are and how you see yourself and relate to the world. And I was just wondering if you could provide a little commentary on how does it feel to be a woman of color in the U.S. today?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, you know, even with like talking about politics and how my music has often been given a like labeled as political music or protest music. And I've realized that the experience of a woman of color in America is inherently politicized. The experience of people of color is inherently politicized. And so being a woman of color, telling my stories through folk music is like inherently like a political statement. And a statement that I take with such honor and responsibility, and one that I embrace. And, you know, I'm the daughter of both an indigenous person. My dad, he's Native American, of Akimetatham descent, and also Mexican. And my mother is an immigrant from Japan, who actually moved to the United States with like a stateless passport because she's also Taiwanese, and it's like so complicated on her side of the family. And both of my parents come from incredibly politicized racial groups. Just being an immigrant or being indigenous is something that politics have played such a role in, just in terms of your own identity and how you get to claim who you are. So much has been decided by American politics, and so to answer your question, being a woman of color in America is both like an incredibly exciting and vibrant experience, and also a very difficult and political one, and one that is like a constant identity crisis at times, which I've felt as a mixed race girl in America. I've always felt that my whole life is like, I'm trying to figure myself out. I'm trying to figure out my place in this country. I'm trying to figure out my place in this world. I'm trying to figure out my place in my own body. And that's an experience that not only is something that's internal, but also reflected within the television shows I've been watching since I was a kid, and not feeling reflected back through the people on screen a majority of the time, or whatnot. You know, there's so many different ways that your identity is something that you grapple with both internally but also externally. And so the whole point of writing the Woman of Color, Woman in Color, the record, was about thinking about the experience of anyone. And you're telling your story as like a coloring book, and think about like when someone else tells your story, it's almost like they're drawing just like the lines, like they're drawing the outline of your story, and then you get to color it in. And I think that for many, especially Indigenous people or immigrants or people of color in general, any marginalized community, a lot of times our stories were never told in the history books, or they were told not by people coming from the culture itself. So it's like now, 2020, it's our time to color in our own stories.
Absolutely. Well said, Ray. Well said.
Thank you.
We have Ray Zaragoza on the phone today, singer-songwriter and activist who has a new album coming out October 23rd, Woman in Color. And I would like to thank you, Ray, for joining us today. I got to say, as sort of my own two cents, I first heard the songs, you know, Fight Like a Girl was the first one I heard from you months ago. And I know I judged those on the merit of the music alone. And that really is what sold me. I listened to the song. I was like, this is cool. I obviously you're a woman, but I didn't know if there was any race involved at that time. But I got to say, and since then, the layers of your story that keep unfolding are just fascinating and interesting. And there's so much depth here. I wish for you the best in your career as you carry on. I expect you to keep going up and up, and really, you know, love to hear more from you as the years go by. So folks, definitely check out Ray's album coming out October 23rd, Woman in Color. And I want to thank you on behalf of KSJD, all of our DJs who play your songs, and all of our listeners who enjoy them. Thank you so much for joining us today, Ray.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a joy.
All right.